Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Welcome as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayishlach. And the very first time, this year is coming to you from Brazil, where I've come for a wedding of the daughter of a very good friend. Brazil, as you should know, is in the Southern Hemisphere. A very new experience for me. Last night, I was able to see the moon in the northern sky. The first time in my life. Possibly the last time. I don't know if I'll be in the Southern Hemisphere again. But everything here is sort of upside down. As you know, we're standing upside down compared to you. And therefore, this year may sound a little garbled. At any rate, being that I'm in the Southern Hemisphere, I wanted to share with you a thought I had. I'm here, and as you know, I have an ailment that I think about stuff. And I was thinking the following. Preparation for coming, I was talking about the halachis of the same Talmud Mata Levracha and the same bracha, how to say it, where to say it. It's an interesting shaila what to do when you're in the other hemisphere. Now, my purpose at this moment is not to talk to you about the halachis. That's not what's negaya. My thought was something else. My thought was the fact that when you think about it, it's an incredible thing. Saying these few words is ma'akiv in the davening. Saying them properly or not properly makes a person have to repeat the whole Shemoneh Esrei. That's a fascinating thing. And when you think about it, I think every time we daven, we should be machshir these few words in davening. And December 5th, we are going to start saying the same Talmud Mata Levracha in New York. Actually, everywhere in the world will be saying it at that point, certainly in the Northern Hemisphere. And the chashivas of those words probably should be the takeaway of this trip for me. Imagine, it's a davar hama'akev to say these couple of words right. It's not like many of the other Shemoneh Esrei, which are not ma'akev. And so, perhaps, maybe, could be, for at least a couple of Shemoneh Esrei, I'll be ma'akev more the words that I say. Having said that, let's talk about Parshas Vayishlach. Since I'm in the upside-down part of the world, let me start by talking about the end of the parsha. Then the Parshas Vayishlach, we don't focus on, at least I don't focus on most of the time. As you know, the end of the parsha from Perek Lamed Vav until the end of the parsha, which runs 43 psukim, on the B'nai Yisab, Rashi in Vayesha tells us that the Torah first deals with the B'nai Yisab quickly, and then descendants of Yaakov at greater length. Shalom al Yisrael, I think we all know that. Now, if you, as I, will be zeicha to go through the parsha in a very calm setting, like if you're on an airplane for many hours, which is a blessed time. It's a time that you can really focus on your learning. You can't make any phone calls. You can't get up and walk to the refrigerator. There's not much else that you could do. You can't even get on the internet, at least in most airplanes. And therefore, you can focus. If that ever happens to you, that you're on a plane, use the time wisely. And then when you get to the end of Vayishlach, you're going to see something you may have never seen before. And that's the following. How many sons does Esav have? Two. The Pasuk tells us that Esav had two sons, Elishmais ben Esav, Eliphaz ben Arda, the wife of Esav, and Reuel ben Basmas, the wife of Esav. Two sons, Eliphaz and Reuel. Then, in a number of psukim, that deal with their descendants. Then, at Shvi, which is Pasuk Chaf, lo and behold, the Pasuk says, Ela ben Seir ha-Chayri, Yeshvei ha-Oretz. It goes into non-descendants of Esav. It's going into the children of Seir HaChayri. It's going into people who lived in the same land. Rashi says, Yesh Yaretz Yesh Kaidim Shabbat Esav to Seir. Amazing thing. The end of the parasha is not about the children of Esav exclusively. As a matter of fact, Esav didn't have that many children. The children of Esav, Elish Meisbei Esav, are from Pasuk Yud to Pasuk Yud Tes, a total of 10 psukim. And then B'nai Seir, he goes from Chaf till Mem, 20% Mem Gimel, 23% and 24% actually. Incredible. It's mostly not the B'nai Yeshev. What's Rashi doing with B'nai Yeshev? And telling us that it's all about, first it tells you the B'nai Yeshev, and then it tells you the B'nai Yaakov. What do you mean? It's B'nai Seir. Why is the Torah telling us B'nai Seir Achayri? Sarif Bia. So I haven't seen anybody that asked the question. Actually, here in the hotel, I don't have any Chumash Svarim beyond the Chumash that I brought along. But I would like to share with you a Yisoid that's important for Nach, which may hold true here. We typically talk about the B'nai Seir as synonymous with B'nai Adin. Adin settled in Seir, and Seir is known as the place of the B'nai Adin, and the B'nai Esav, and we therefore talk about all of Seir as the descendants of Esav, despite the fact that it seems the end of the parasha that biologically only a minority of the people from there were actually descendants of Esav. When we learn Navi, we are to a certain degree compelled to come up with the following chiddush, not compelled, but it seems that it's correct to say the following chiddush, and I must have mentioned this somewhere along the many years of our Thursday afternoon parasha shiurim. And that's the following. We know that a person could be a ger. That is to say, a non-Jew could become a Jew through a system that we call gerus. A Jew, we know, can never become a non-Jew. Once a Jew, always a Jew. That's the klal hadvarim, that's the rule of our time. Now, what about a non-Jew of one nation becoming a non-Jew of another nation? For example, the Torah tells us certain restrictions on descendants of Mitzrayim. What happens if someone from another country moves to Mitzrayim? Does he have those restrictions? Or if a Mitzri moves to China, does he have those restrictions? What is the halacha? Now, we don't have a parsha of gerus to be megayer from one guy to another, from one guyish nation to the other. We do have a discussion about Barchan Cherev or Bilbil Asul Maisis. So Cherev came and moved the B'nai Mitzrayim elsewhere. That's not a discussion for this moment. But the insight I'd like to share with you is that it is possible that when one nation moves or intermingles with another nation and takes on the character traits of that nation, that they get, in the eyes of halacha, the din of that nation. In other words, if the B'nai Seir and the B'nai Adin mixed, they intermingled, they assimilated one with the other, and they took on the character traits of B'nai Adin, then they would all be considered B'nai Esav. And that would explain why the B'nai Seir are mentioned here. Even though Rashi says it's telling us B'nai Esav. What compels us to this in Nach is the following. As you know, Shaul kills all of Amalek, as we understand, except for one person, Agag. And that takes place in Sefer Shmuel. Yet at the end of Sefer Shmuel, right around the time Shaul dies, we find David HaMelech going to an Ir HaAmaleki, a city full of Amalekim. What's he doing attacking the city of Amalekim? Who are these Amalekim? I thought Shaul had killed all but one of the Amalekim. This is a difficult kasha. The only place I've ever seen this kasha, to my recollection, is in the Me'adim Uzmanim, where he has this kasha when he deals with Parsha Zachar with Amalek. The answer would seem to be that if there's an Amaleki city, the people get killed out, others settle the city. If the others who come are Chinese, they call themselves Chinese, they're not Amalekim. But if the others who come to the city and call themselves Amalekim, it's a gerus, it's a conversion, they become Amalekim. So that others who come to the city, or maybe there were others who lived in the city, and Shaul killed only the biological descendants of Amalek, even as it may, bottom line is, it may be that people who come and take on the guise of another nation get a din of the people of that nation. Now, this is an important aside, time for a longer shiur on the topic, about being the geyer from one nation to another among the Umay Sa'ilam. However, it would seem when Rashi in the beginning of Vayeshev says to us, after we finish talking about the B'nai Esav, now we go to B'nai Yaakov. He said, what are you talking about? Why did he ask this kasha in the past? What are you talking about? We only spent 10 psukim on B'nai Esav. We spent 23 psukim on B'nai Seir. That's not B'nai Esav. And guess what? It seems that somehow we're considering the B'nai Seir to have a dinner of B'nai Esav. You, who are in a place where you have more svarim than I have, should be able to find somebody who has this kasha, and in the Yitzhak Hashem communicated to me. And so, we have a chizuk for the Sei Talumata, a thread on the parsha, a riddle. Who is it? Which name is it that's found in the Torah? Once the name of a guy, once the name of a Yehudi, and what's the name of a ger? Well, I just gave it away, because I said Esav had two children. One was Eliphaz, and the other was Reuel. Reuel, as you know, is also one of the names of Yisrael, the ger. And Eliyosaf ben Reuel, the father of one of the Nesiim. So you have in the Chumash, Reuel times three people named Reuel. One is a Jew, one is a non-Jew, and one is a ger. What a unbelievable thing that the same notion people, three of them, it's not a name that stuck with Klal Yisrael. One more reminder, I've done this in the past, reminded you, Es Nishesehem Shavu, that the word is Shavu. Shavu means to return. To capture is Shavu, one of the rare places in the Torah, Me'el and Morah, Amakev, the Amakev on the reading. So a reminder, to remind you about Kaleh, to say Shavu, and that Shavu, if you don't tell him beforehand, correcting him during learning ain't going to do nothing, because he won't know what you're talking about. Shavu, 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 what's the difference? So try to remind him ahead of time. With that, I want to wish everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos. Please daven for me that I make it back to the Northern Hemisphere. Bezos Hashem for Shafi Yeshiva for tomorrow, Bezos Hashem. That's my hope. Although my stay here has really been very, very wonderful. And give me a moment, I'm going to step out and see the sun in the northern sky. You never see the sun in the northern sky. But yes, it rises in the east, goes in the southern sky, and sets in the west. Over here, where everything is backwards, it's actually the northern exposure, the northern side of the sky, where it's seen. What a sight. Be well. A good Kedesh Shabbos to one and all.